The Sentimental Agents by Doris Lessing, 1983. Doris Lessing's Canopus and Argos series has had some queer reviews. Some academic critics, unwilling to recognize experiment in content rather than form, dismiss her greatest experimental venture as mere science fiction, not to be taken seriously. But among science fiction readers and reviewers, where the books might have been greeted with intelligent interest, the attitude seems to be, Lessing is not one of us, therefore we will not take her seriously. Some feminist critics denounce her for departing from the single issue of feminism. And then there are her adorers, for whom she can do no wrong. None of these reviewers does her novels justice. Neither will I. I am much too angry at her. But perhaps this review will move a reader to begin or to continue the series, of which The Sentimental Agents is the fifth book. And that's what I'm after. Doris Lessing deserves to be read. How many novelists are there writing now who can make you really angry? How many refuse triviality, self-imitation, and the safe line, whether it panders to the know-it-all snob or the know-nothing slob? How many novelists take any risks at all? If you are thirsty for the dry taste of courage, try Lessing. But don't start with this one. Start with the first in the series, Shikasta, or the second, The Marriages Between Zones 3, 4, and 5, which I think very much the best so far. In this latest one, all the faults and few of the strengths of Lessing's style survive the ordeal of an effort at satirical playfulness by the most humorless major writer alive. She takes the themes of Orwell's brief, beautiful Animal Farm and clomps around all over them, page after page, so gracelessly and so tastelessly that one ends up cheering for the targets of her satire. She sets up feeble men of straw and knocks them over, braying, "Look, what fools, what knaves!" She loads every die she throws. She propagandizes steadily throughout a novel, the intent of which is to satirize propaganda. She preaches against preaching and rants about ranting. The keenest novelistic observer of the political human being since the Kessler of Darkness at Noon, she generalizes marvelously. But as soon as she embodies the idea in a character, she overmanipulates, and all we see is a puppet kicking on strings. She bravely discards verisimilitude and even probability, but she discards compassionate insight along with them, replacing it not with irony, but with judgmentalism. We must endure even her judgments on music. On a planet somewhere across the universe, we are informed that Tchaikovsky is a complainer and that the tune of We Shall Overcome is dismal. Finally, her confusion of emotion with sentimentality is a moral disaster. And all of this is presented as the wisdom of Canopus. I have not found much wisdom in the apparent heroes of the saga, Johor and the other agents of Canopus. They are arrogant, anthropocentric, authoritarian, forever smiling pityingly, forever talking down to everybody else, bearing the galactic version of the white man's burden with stifled but audible moans of self-pity through a universe populated by lesser breeds without the law. And they are immortal. They are as self-righteous as the tiresome old Laputans of Robert Heinlein's novels, though less talkative. In fact, when it comes to real information, they stop talking. They smile, pityingly. Can it be that Lessing is playing her own double agent? Are we meant to dislike these saintly agents, meant to distrust their wisdom as they distrust our rhetoric, meant to question the necessity they invoke as they dismiss our inadequate concepts of virtue, freedom, justice, compassion? Are we expected to protest the orders from above that everyone in the book obeys unprotesting, or if they don't, they rue the day? If so, Lessing is risking even more than I thought, and is undercutting her book as she writes it, in a fashion and to an extent that few fancy critics of formal preciosities or auteurs of self-deconstructed anti-novels would dare contemplate. But then she is asking too much of her readers to carry on so strained a duplicity in book after book. It's time the people from Canopus stopped looking down from the heights, all head, no body. Any redneck preacher or hardline Freudian can spout this stuff about subduing our animal nature and the beast in us, as if it were animals that made the mess we're in. Surely Canopus or Lessing can do better than that. We don't need the soppy pseudo-reassurances of an E.T., but neither do we need condemnations, preachifyings, and mystifications in the name of reason. If Canopus knows what it is we do need in the mess we've made, it's time they spoke. Put up or shut up, Jehore.